You'll know my next guest from your TV screens. He's starred in some incredible productions, The Straits, and of course, black comedy, some iconic, slightly controversial characters that he's played. But now he has turned from the screen and put pen to paper, or perhaps a keyboard to scream. He's just released his memoir. His name is Aaron Faso. The man sitting opposite me now in the studio is only a couple of years older than me. So my first question to you, Aaron Faso, is, mate, why a memoir so young? That's normally reserved for people in the last years of their life.
Well, Gav, I said the same thing, exactly the same thing when it was pitched to me by two literary agents at the time, who are now evidently my agents, my literary agents. Jacinta DeMays and Danielle Binks approached me while I was actually pitching a feature film script at the 37 South, which is part of the Melbourne International Film Festival. And it's basically like a, where, you know, one, for 2 days, over a 2 day period, it's like a speed dating, but it's more or less like you're doing your pitch, 15 minutes with Icon, Warner Brothers.
Right, right.
You know, with big plays.
Speed pitching.
Speed pitching, and with, you know, massive players, and also with distribution companies. And on my list, I come across, it was these two literary agents. I was like, hang on, they got this wrong. I know you got this wrong, because like, I'm in screen, man. I don't write books. I don't do books. And they said, no, look, we think we're here to pitch to you, Aaron.
Why?
And they said, look, we've done our research on yourself. And I was like, ooh, okay, this is interesting. Which part did you research? And they said, no, look, in all seriousness, we've done research on you. You've had a successful career in the industry. You know, we know that you've come from, Indigenous or Torres Strait Islander background, and you've had a quite successful career, and we think that your story would be great for our audience in terms of especially the young men or the readership. And I was like, oh, okay. And then there was especially around, you know, youth suicide and all that kind of stuff, and stuff that I've got a soft spot for as well. So I said, so I gave him my ear, and then they said, how would you like writing your memoirs? And I said, that's for old guys.
Yes.
But when I gave it some, you know, real serious consideration, and then when, you know, we conversed and we talked it through, and given the fact that, you know, statistically, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and women passing away at a far, an earlier rate than, you know, the mainstream, community or sector. You know, we're already reaching, you know, the age of 55.
It's about 20 years difference.
20
you
years
talk
difference,
about the
yeah.
Gap.
You
the
talk
gap.
About the gap. We're talking about the gap. And the gap continues to increase. I mean, especially, and then, you know, I've been burying nephews and nieces as well. So I think it dawned upon me that this is like, you know, this is something that, you know, I should, you know, seriously consider. Broken it with my family, man, they laughed like drains. And they were like, same question, Gav. It was like, isn't that for old people? It's like, yeah, you were too young. They're like, you know, what have you, you know, what have you got to tell? And you know, I kind of, you know, half believed them too. But then, you know, I was looking around and I was like, yeah, and at that time I was about 42 when it was pitched to me. And over that period, over a 3 year period, I was burying, you know, a lot of, you know, my own peer groups, you know, around the age of 45, 47, seeing them going to, you know, into dialysis or going on dialysis. And it wasn't until one of my best mates passed away, Sam Savage, and at the age of 48, that I was like, you know, that's my demographic. That's
your peer.
That's my peer group. He was such a talent, and I think, like, if he had the opportunity to write his story, not only for his son, but his future, you know, for his forebearers as well. So it got me thinking, is that, like, if I was to, you know, layout, so to speak, for whatever reason, there are things that I want my children to know that they're not aware of, you know, that I would like to tell them. But also to, you know, set a few things straight too, but for not only now, but for my future generations. Because, you know, we always hear stories about our pops and our, you know, former great-great-grandfathers, and, you know, we're just hearing all these oral...
Yes, bits and pieces.
Orally. So I thought, well, on that, and given that, I wanted to dive in to talk to some, you know, and speak to some kind of issues that around mental health and, but also about my flaws, but also the my successes and my failures, and that, you know, the mistakes that I've made for young people to hear and know and to read that, you know, a couple of mistakes in your life doesn't define you. You know, you can turn it around, and I may be perceived, I may look successful, but there's been a whole lot of work that's been put through, and I've been a hole through ups and downs, highs and lows, to get to where I am.
You were destined for a career in the NRL, I think, with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, mate. Yeah,
and I'm sure this is covered in the book because I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But how did you go from training with the Bulldogs into acting?
Well, I think I, you know, failed profusely at my attempt of my.
Well, you don't make it into the squad if you failed spectacularly, Aaron Faso. But anyway,
no. Look, I think you know, and where you will read in the book. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Sydney was the land of opportunity for me. So,
how old were you when you went down?
I was 17.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was 17. Okay, I was 17, young. And. You know, I had this real kind of inability or this great ability of not listening.
You know, we all do as 17-year-olds, like, don't we?
But it's a superpower of mine, you know? Just follow your own. Follow your own voice. But no, look, I had opportunity to stay with the Cowboys. And you know, when I look back, I was like, I think people who will read this book will be extremely frustrated by me, and like,
cause why did you do it that way?
Why'd you go this way? Why did you go that way? You should have stayed here.
You should have stayed that way.
Yeah, exactly. And he did it. Oh man,
makes for a good read.
It makes for a good read. But yeah, look, I had an opportunity to, you know, to stay with the Cowboys, and you know, when I look back, hindsight is a wonderful thing. You know, I mean, I could have had the support, had the betting, had everything here that at my disposal. I think I would have certainly had a much longer or successful hit at establishing myself as a first grade contender. But you know, I'm always up for a challenge, right? So and just Sydney was too alluring. And by the time I got there, I found Sydney I was a kid in a candy store, and it was the lights and everything. So, you know, I got distracted, man.
Right.
I got distracted as a 17-year-old and did everything but focus on football. But, you know, I think the ability and the talent was there, but what I've realized now coming through that period, that talent alone isn't ever going to get you there. It's about the work that you've got to put in, and it's all the little work, the, you know, and the discipline about turning up, showing up every day, all day.
And that's true for any profession, isn't it? And not just sport.
Yeah. And exactly. And those principles, they're transferable to anywhere, as you said. And I think that was my journey through that, you know, 10 or so year period of failures, and you know, getting there, almost getting there, making the side, making the cut, but then I don't know, I decide to go walk about it. It's like, something else distracted me.
There's a few other shiny things over here
that I want to suss out. Anyway, I'm only playing reserve this week. Anyway, I'm gonna be here.
That's right. Well, talk to us about then your acting and screen career, and of course you've gone on to do so much more than just be in front of the camera, but you know, so you've been involved in some amazing Aussie drama series. You've produced your own The Straits, of course, was one of my favourites. And I think people are still hanging out for black comedy, mate. Are we going to get another season of black comedy?
Black comedy, no, unfortunately. I think that was such a great platform so many, for so many things. I think it was just, you know, for one, and for talent identification, or, you know, finding new talent, but also I think just the sketches in general, and just the humor, and having that opportunity to see, you know, black fella humor for the first time, where we're poking fun at ourselves, poking fun at white fellas, black fellas, and everyone in between. So I think, and it was, you know, I mean, some of them, you know, not everyone, you know, got the jokes, and that's a given. And I think some jokes were, you know, quite controversial as well, or may have not just pushed the envelope, but they went over the
burnt the envelope up.
Yeah, burnt the envelope up. But yeah, look, I think it was just a great platform. And
do you think it almost came at a time, you think about right now, the national conversation going on with voice to parliament, treaties, all of that type of stuff. It was almost as if black comedy came around at a time. It was obviously before all of that happened, but it really just, to me, it almost broke open the conversation. It allowed people to see it from both sides, to see it from your perspective. And I almost think it did help facilitate and almost ease the way into these national conversations that we're now having years after black comedy aired.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think it did massage the Australian audience, or us as a country, into, okay, engaging in those conversations, or seeing the flip side, or seeing the funny side.
Yes.
Yeah. Or seeing it from another, just from another perspective or another lens, and going, hey, yeah, you know, but that actually makes sense. I mean, it's funny, but
yes.
Hey, hang on for a minute.
And there was always a deeper message, I think, with black comedy, the sketches.
Absolutely.
There was always something.
And, that was just a given. We were always, you know, trying to embed, you know, a message in there.
Coming up next in my chat with Aaron, we delve into some of the darker moments from his life, some of the fairly traumatic and confronting issues that he covers in that memoir, So Far, So Good. That's coming up when we return.